We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Probably a very familiar passage of Scripture to all of us, talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 with me, if you would, in verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the story this morning that we just read, for the Savior being born. Because we know that he was born to die to save each and every one of us upon this earth. Father, now, I pray your blessing upon our message. Father, give these people here, these good people here this morning, the words that they need to hear. Father, I pray that you'd remove me out of the way. Help me to be thy servant, to be a vessel to be used unto honor for you this very day. Father, now, encourage us by thy words. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, the verse that I want to preach from this morning in particular is verse number 14 of Luke chapter 2. This is what the heavenly host said, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I believe we can learn from the words of the heavenly host this morning the reason today on this earth we do not, as it says, have peace on earth, goodwill towards men. While I yet speak, there are conflicts going on all over this world. To name just a few, we have a constant conflict going on between the Arabs and the Jews over the land of Palestine. We have right now, we have American troops stationed in Bosnia. We also know about Northern Ireland. There's a religious war still going up there between the Protestants and the Catholics. And of course, there's always Saddam Hussein in Iraq that's always up to no good. And there are many, many more conflicts that are going on right now in this world that you and I are just not aware of. But we want to notice in verse number 14, contained in the statement made by the heavenly host, three things were proclaimed. Number one, glory to God in the highest. Number two, on earth peace. And number three, goodwill toward man. We also want to notice the heavenly host state our heart attitude was in verse 13 as they proclaim glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Look at what it says in verse 13 with me, if you would. The heavenly host were praising God. They were praising God. These were not mere words. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill towards men. But these were not mere words, but rather a part of a praise, of praise and worship of Almighty God. The other thing we want to notice this morning is the order of these three things that were said. Number one, it says, glory to God in the highest. That was the first thing. That was the first statement that was made. And then, on earth, peace. And then finally, goodwill towards men. And what the heavenly host was telling us, telling all of mankind, is if you want to have on earth peace, goodwill towards men, then number one, you must have mankind as a whole praising God and giving glory to God in the highest. Isaiah the prophet, many years ago, told us why mankind was created. Isaiah wrote, in Isaiah chapter 43, in verse number 7, he wrote, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So we were made for the glory of God. You see, the reason the heavenly host was praising God and saying glory to God in the highest was because they knew that the one that was born, the Lord Jesus Christ, was come so that there could be on earth peace and goodwill towards men. They knew that only through him, only through the Lord Jesus Christ, could the heart of man be transformed and changed. They knew this because of the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 with me, if you would. Isaiah chapter 9, he prophesied many years before the coming, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse number 6 and 7, we are told, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and here's the last one, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Verse number 7, of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. Here we have the Prince of Peace. And because the Prince of Peace, we have peace, there shall be no end. That's why they were all excited. He was that Prince of Peace that Isaiah prophesied thousands of years before the Lord Jesus Christ was actually born. And they knew that because he was the Prince of Peace, that there would be peace. There would be peace on this earth, and there should be no end to that peace. They knew that that baby lying in the manger was the one Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Isaiah wrote again about the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now why is that name so important, Emmanuel? Well, if we turn over to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, we get the interpretation of what that name Emmanuel means. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23. We see, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. So what we have is the quoting of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 and Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So that's why this heavenly host was all excited, because they knew that this babe lying in the manger was Emmanuel, was actually God with us. Jesus Christ was, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God. That baby lying in the manger was God himself manifest in the flesh. That was God manifest in an earthly body. Amen. He was, as the angel of the Lord proclaimed to the shepherds in Luke 2:11, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. As Peter said to the nation Israel, when he get up there on the day of Pentecost and he preached to the nation of Israel in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, that's why the heavenly host was so excited. That's why they were praising God. Because they knew that this was God manifest in the flesh, that this was the Lord, the God the Father's Lord, and God the Father's Christ, amen. In the Gospels, we see that our Lord's ministry and the apostles that he sent out was primarily to the nation of Israel. Through Jesus, the nation of Israel could be redeemed and have peace with God for their past sins. If the nation of Israel as a whole, as a people, not individually, had accepted Jesus as their Messiah, then the kingdom of heaven would have been literally on earth. There would have literally been peace on earth. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. But we know the story in the accounts of the Gospels. The Israel rejected God the Son. They rejected the Messiah that God the Father had sent. They had rejected Emmanuel, God with us. They had rejected the Lord and the Christ, amen. And as a result, God turned to the Gentiles, to you and I. But now, the offer to the Gentile nations is not so much to the nations as a whole, but to individual Gentiles. The offer is individually to each and every Gentile. That through this offer, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, man could have peace with God. That's what the offer is now. It's not so much for the kingdom of heaven to come down right now. That's going to come eventually. But right now, the offer that's given to each and every individual now is that individual peace, you and I can have individual peace with God the Father through God the Son. Individually, a man's sins would be forgiven through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be reconciled to God. The New Testament writers wrote about this offer now to the Gentiles. Luke wrote it, amen. Luke wrote it, and Peter preached it in Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Let's turn to Acts 10 and see what Peter preached there to Cornelius, to a bunch of Gentiles, amen. Here we have Peter, a Jewish apostle in the book of Acts, going to some honest-to-goodness Gentiles, preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But look at what he said in Acts chapter 10, verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That's what Peter was preaching, that the Gentiles could have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is Lord of all. Paul, the greatest New Testament writer, emphasized it. He wrote in his epistles, for example, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul wrote, therefore being justified by faith, okay, that's how you and I are made right by God in this church age. We're justified, we're made right, we're made just by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Okay? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, the same thing, the same message. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul writes, "For he," the he in that verse is the Lord Jesus Christ, "for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." See, before you and I were out of the picture, only the Jew had a shot at God, amen. You and I were considered dogs, the scum of the earth, amen. And now through the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I too can have peace with God. For he, Jesus Christ, is our peace. We see again in Colossians, one more place with me. Colossians chapter 1, the same message. The same message, the same offer. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. "In having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." See, this whole rotten, ruined creation is someday going to be redeemed and have peace with God through the blood of his son, through the blood of the cross. But as a nation of Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, in like fashion, the majority of individual Gentiles for the last 2,000 years have rejected God's offer of peace with him through his son. Just try to witness to someone. Nine people out of ten, they don't want to hear you. Just try to witness to someone. The majority of Gentiles today are on their way to hell, amen. You know, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, amen. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few that find it. I praise God for the souls here this morning that have found it, but the majority will never find it, amen. You see, the problem is, the reason they won't find it is, see, the problem is for the last 2,000 years, approximately, man has been trying under the power of his own sinful flesh to generate by himself on earth peace. And how does he try to do this? By saying only. You know, the solution to the problem is, if we only can have goodwill towards men, then as a result we will have on earth peace. We see man's efforts all the time when trying to have goodwill towards men, with a special emphasis this time of year. For example, if you think about it, all the foreign aid that this country sends abroad to help other countries that are hungry and diseased. See, this is a way of showing goodwill towards men. We've given out billions and billions of dollars in giveaways to foreign countries, but still there's no peace on earth. If you look real close to these countries that we give foreign aid, the reason they're in trouble, the reason they have disease and they have hunger is because these nations are steeped in idolatry, because they're not worshiping the living and true God. I think of India, for example. Amen. India, they have people literally being born and dying on the street and starving. Yet they have all these cows that they won't kill because they worship the cow. The cow is sacred to them. This is why these countries that we send all these billions of dollars of foreign aid to are in trouble, is because they're not worshiping the true God. They're not being blessed because they're worshiping idols. They're worshiping animals and all kinds of different things. Amen. We see it in our own country with all the charities and the big government. See, big government has been created so we can show goodwill towards men. I think of different presidential administrations have their different plans and so forth and so on for the future of mankind in this country. And I remember especially, and you probably do here, remember that the Johnson administration had that theme of the Great Society, and they pumped millions and billions of dollars into social programs, you know, in a way of showing goodwill towards men and trying to bring peace in this country. But look around you today, amen. Nothing's changed. There's no Great Society, amen. Because you see, amen, The wrong approach has been taken. Man is trying to create that peace on earth by showing goodwill towards men. And what he equates that to is his own self-efforts. Amen. We also see this self-man-made effort of goodwill towards men on this earth, especially this time of year. Everybody is, you know, bugging you for a donation of some kind of some sort. You know, to give this to that thing and to give, you know, food for this one and that one. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, we can pump billions and billions of dollars of goodwill towards man, but still we will not have peace on earth. The Bible tells us that the human flesh cannot produce or generate true peace. In fact, what is peace? True peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 5 with me. Galatians chapter 5. It lists the works of the flesh, amen, and it also lists the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, it says, is love, joy, and number 3, peace. Peace, true peace. Amen. True peace. And you and I hope, have experienced, if you're all believers, and I believe you are, if you have the Holy Spirit, and we all do, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can produce true peace. True peace. The flesh can't do it. You can't produce peace. You know, we can do all the efforts that we can do, amen, you and I, and the government can pump billions of dollars and send all this foreign aid over, and there's still not going to be any peace on this earth, amen. They say, oh, I can't understand how that Saddam Hussein can be so mean and nasty. How, you can't understand. The heart is desperately wicked, amen. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And unless a person is born again and has been changed and has been washed in the blood of the Lamb and has that Holy Spirit, there cannot be true peace, cannot be generated from anyone. Amen. Please turn to Mark chapter 12 with me. You know, during Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus' earthly ministry, a scribe came up to him and asked him, you know, they were always trying to trick him with trick questions and ask him all kinds of things and test him and tempt him and try him and everything. But a scribe asked Jesus a question in Mark chapter 12 we want to look at. Look at Mark 12 with me, if you would, in verse number 28. Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes... Mark 12, verse 28. Give you a little time to get there. I keep forgetting sometimes. Mark 12, verse number 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, what is the first commandment of all? Okay. And Jesus answered him. We want to notice his response now. Jesus answered him, this is the first of all the commandments, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Okay, here's the commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So notice what he's saying in here. Basically, Jesus is telling them, you have to love God first before you can love man second. See, that's what he's saying to them. You see, the problem has been, since man has walked on the face of this earth, man has put man first and God last. And for the last 6,000 years, there has not been peace on this earth except for the 33 and a half years the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked on this earth. Amen. I believe there were no conflicts, I read, or no wars while he walked, while Emmanuel, God, manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, was here, there was peace, total peace on this earth. Amen. You see, we can't love our neighbor You know, that's a philosophy today. You hear, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's why you give to all these charities. But the bottom line is, we can't love our neighbor unless we love God first. And if we love God first, then all the commandments will fall into play. We'll be able to keep all those other commandments. But now, for the last 6,000 years, man has been saying, goodwill towards men to obtain on earth peace. So what we see is, this is the message that man has been proclaiming. We will have peace on earth, but first we have to goodwill towards men. And you don't hear any mention of God in the formula. As a result, someday, in the very near future, man is going to reap destruction. As he sows that message of goodwill towards men, you know, obtain peace on earth, that... Who do you hear saying that all the time? The Pope. That's all he goes around. Peace, 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 peace. We got to have peace. How's he doing it? Towards goodwill towards men. We can't do it that way. As a result of sowing that garbage, as a result someday in the very near future, man is going to reap destruction. Because a world leader is going to rise up, and the Bible calls him several things, the beast, the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And this leader will appear to finally, at last, bring peace to this earth during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Look it with me. I want you to get your Daniel chapter 9 in one hand. Daniel chapter 9 in one hand. As we look at this character for just a moment. Daniel chapter 9 in one hand. And after you get Daniel 9 in one hand, I want you to get 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Daniel 9 in one hand. Daniel 9 and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll put some things here together for you so you can see them. Daniel 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Daniel 9. Everybody got Daniel 9. Look at it in Daniel 9, verse 27. And he, that's the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant. Okay, the Antichrist is going to make a peace treaty with Israel and the nations. Okay, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, the 1 week here is 7 years. 7 years. 1 week is 7 years. This is the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. And then we see, in the midst of the week. So that's after the first, the 1 week here is the tribulation, a 7 year period. In the midst of the week, that's the 3.5 year point, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease, because we know during the tribulation that the temple is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and the Jews are going to start sacrificing again, and so forth and so on. But he's going to break that treaty, and the sacrifices and the oblations are going to cease. For the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So here you have this world leader come upon the scene. He's going to promise world peace. It's going to look nice and rosy. And then after 3.5 years, he's going to break the treaty. And then you're going to get into the period of time in the tribulation that's called, the portion of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, that's called the Great Tribulation period. Also, we want to notice, so it begins in peace, it ends in destruction. Looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. People will be lulled into a sense of peace and safety by this ruler. Looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety. So everybody's going to be running around and saying how great this leader is. Oh, peace and safety. We got world peace now. Everybody is safe. And then look at what it says. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Again. Starts out with peace, ends in destruction. And this is all going to come about because for the last 6,000 years since man has walked on this earth, we've been promoting the program of the only way that you and I are going to attain on earth peace is by having goodwill towards men. But we see we can't do that. My dear friend, only when the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us, returns, will there be peace and goodwill towards men. Until then, it's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. No matter what man wants to do, amen. The second time he comes, it won't be as that little cute little baby in the manger, amen. But it will be as a warrior on a white horse. Look with me, if you would, in Revelations 19, as it describes that scene of his second coming. Revelations chapter 19, verse 11 and following. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. We know the description of the little babe in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Look at the description of this warrior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And his cloth, and he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven, that's you and I, were coming back with him, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that it shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I tell you, people on the earth are going to know they're in for a heap of trouble when they see that. They're going to see him. They're going to see this scene in heaven. You can imagine people are going to be shaking in the boots. Their hearts are going to fail. They'll probably die of heart attacks. Amen. All then at this time will glorify him. We read in Philippians, you know, either you bow to Christ now or you're going to bow to him later on. It's going to be too late. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9, we're going to see, just as we began this morning, with the heavenly host in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, proclaiming, glory to God in the highest. Look at what's going to happen in the near future. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's coming. It's coming real soon. You know, our prayer as Christians should not be for, we should not be praying for world peace. That should not be our prayer. It may say, well, how can you say that? It's not biblical. Look at the scriptures. You know, that's what the peace goes around. The Pope goes around. The Pope with no hope, who can bring you and I no hope, goes around saying, you know, that we need to pray for peace. There's got to be peace on this earth. But it's unscriptural. Your prayer and my prayer should be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the last prayer in the Bible. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, that's the prayer. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Why should we be praying that? Because only then will there be on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Christian, until he comes, we are commanded by the word of God. In I want you to see this with me. Turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And we're going to close very shortly here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. We're talking about giving glory to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, if this isn't marked in your Bible or underlined or highlighted, you should. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, here it is, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. In other words, the Bible tells you and I, we are to live in such a way that everything we do brings glory to Him. Does it? I know that I can say that not everything, I could say that, but I know everything in my life doesn't bring glory to God, and it should. We started out this morning with that heavenly host proclaiming with great joy. They were praising God at the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They proclaimed glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace and goodwill towards men. And that's only going to happen when He returns. But while we wait, you and I can give glory to Him now. But the only way that you and I can give glory to Him now is by the way we live our lives here until He comes. Amen. We're going to be in on that big celebration, amen, someday. We're going to be coming back with Him on the white horses. I just read that to you, amen. There's no doubt about it. I stake my life on it. I'll die for it. But we can be bringing glory to Him right now, individually, through our individual lives. This church individually can bring glory to Him, amen, through the way we conduct our lives. And we reach out to other souls to save them, amen. Is there an area in your life that doesn't bring Him glory? We need to bring it out. We need to cast it out, amen. We need to look at our lives and say, where is it that I'm not bringing glory to Him? Because just like that heavenly host was, amen, you and I should be full of joy because we're born again, amen. We're saved. We're going to heaven. We've believed on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're going to be coming back with Him someday. Just that joy, just that anticipation of His return should make us live our lives and do all to the glory of God. Let's not get caught up in the hustle and bustle of this time of season, amen. Let's remember the message of the heavenly host. We can sit by on the sidelines and watch the world go nuts by itself. We don't have to get involved in it. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to get caught up in all the charities. Amen. Because that's like throwing, you know, sand to the waves. Amen. It's not gonna do anything. I mean, it's nice and it's moral and it's, don't get me wrong. Amen. But you know, this church needs to be supported. Amen. First, if you get some left over, then pray to God about what He may have. Maybe He would have you give to some charity. I don't know. But we see then in the Word of God, through the Word of God, that all of man's self-effort, amen, is not going to bring glory to God. That we're not going to bring peace on this earth by giving all this goodwill towards men, amen. The only way that it'll ever happen again is when He returns. We should be praying, even so, come Lord Jesus. And what else can we do individually is making sure and checking our lives that everything that we do brings glory to Him. And we all have room for improvement, including myself this morning. So don't walk out of here saying, I'm squeaky clean. Everything I do brings honor and glory to God because I can't do that. None of us are above it, amen. Do all to the glory of God. Just as that day that those heavenly hosts proclaimed, glory to God, on earth peace and goodwill to men. I just pray each and every one of us will live in such a way that we bring glory to him. Let us stand for a word of prayer as we close here. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to our time of invitation, dear Lord, I thank you for the proclamation that the heavenly host made, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill towards men, that day at the birth of our Lord and Savior. Father, we know that it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns the second time, that there will be actually on peace, on earth peace and goodwill towards men. But Father, till then, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us here remember that what the heavenly host said that day. Glory to God in the highest. And I pray, and it's my prayer, that each and every one of us, including myself, would do all to the glory of God. Father, now, we just pray that you'd have your will and your way during this time of invitation. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen and amen.